This is the Cross of Grace Lutheran Church Sermon Podcast. On April 30th, 2017, we gather to worship on the third Sunday of Easter. Pastor Mark Havel preached from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 13 through 35.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Now, on that same day, two of them, on Easter day, that is, the day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. They were talking about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and walking, Jesus himself came near, and he went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know about the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus said, "What things?" They said, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and about how our chief priests had him handed over to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we'd hoped he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. What's more, it's been 3 days since these things took place. And even more, some women from our group went to the tomb early this morning. And when they didn't find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some others from our group, they went to the tomb and they found it just like the women had said, but they didn't find Jesus." Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the things the prophets have declared." And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus began to interpret for them the things about himself in all the scriptures. When they came near to the place to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay here with us, for evening has come and the day is now nearly over." And so Jesus went in with them, and while he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, then they recognized him, then he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and while he was opening our minds to understand the scriptures?" And that very hour they got up. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the other 11 and their companions gathered, and they were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." Then these two told them about what had happened to them on the road and about how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So I've always liked the Emmaus Road story. And this day, it feels a little bit different. But I always love the Jesus that we meet on the road to Emmaus because he always seems a little bit strange, a whole lot of mysterious for sure, and I think a little bit punchy after 3 days in the grave. I figure Jesus must have been as surprised as you and I might be to realize that these two guys on the road who had supposedly followed him and known about him didn't recognize him right away, even after talking and walking with him for quite a while. But I like the fact that Jesus is patient, and that maybe even he's a little bit playful with them through all of this. Like when Cleopas seems to get an attitude about the fact that this supposed stranger doesn't know what's been going on. So he asks, "Jesus, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know about the things that have taken place there in these days?" See, the word for stranger carries a lot of weight depending on how you translate it or receive it. It could also mean something like foreigner or alien, stranger with the kick, like some kind of outsider or outcast or interloper, someone who's not in the know. someone who's not part of the in crowd, someone who's not smart enough or not faithful enough or not connected enough to understand the significance of what has happened. And remember what has happened. This is just days after the crucifixion, which anyone who was anyone likely would have been talking about. Are you the only fool in Jerusalem who doesn't know what in the world has been going on around here? You must be some kind of loser, so out of the loop not to know what kind of things have taken place in these days. That's why I imagine Jesus gets a little bit punchy as he goes, that he takes advantage of what they aren't able to see or recognize at first glance. Oh, what things? He asks. Tell me what you know, Mr. Smarty Pants. And I think I like my Savior to have a sense of humor, kind of banking on it, really. But there is more to this than just that Jesus was being funny and playing games. For me, the story of the walk to Emmaus is a microcosm of our faith's journey as individuals and as God's people in the world. And I've had a handful of conversations lately about looking for and finding or trying to recognize God in the world around us and about how hard that can be a lot of the time. And what I find is that many of us, myself included, are inclined to the same kind of certainty and cynical ways that Cleopas, that sad sack on the road, offers up. Jesus calls him, remember, foolish and slow of heart to believe. Cleopas is the one, when confronted with the resurrected Jesus in the flesh, doesn't recognize him, neglects to connect the dots between what he's been taught and told his whole life, and who, again, cynically certain as could be, recounts for Jesus all the reasons why God's Easter good news could not be true, or at least that it was up against it as far as he could tell. Our chief priests handed him over. He was crucified, dead. It's been 3 days. The women went to the tomb and didn't see him. The men followed. They didn't see him either. He's dead. He's gone. He's nowhere to be found, and so on. And I don't blame Cleopas, because I'm a lot like him more often than I'd like to admit it. Standing still, I mean. Looking and feeling and being sad so much of the time, and skeptical and cynical about the state of things and the way of the world around us. First of all, if Jesus approached me on the road most days, I'm afraid I wouldn't even stop to talk, let alone invite him over for dinner, because I'm too busy, because I have more important places to be, because he won't look like I expect he's going to look, I'm guessing. Secondly, though, I'm assuming if I was even having a good day and did at least stop to talk, that I'd sound a lot like Cleopas and his friend. I'm afraid my first inclination would be to rain on Jesus' resurrection parade just like they did. Are you the only stranger in town? Are you the only fool around who doesn't know what the hell has been going on around here? And I'd be happy to cite some examples that would be no surprise to Jesus. Our planet is getting warmer by the day, and it scares the heck out of me to see it. The money we spend on weapons for war could feed and educate and provide health care to all the people that those weapons will otherwise destroy. We have North Korea and other tyrants and terrorists scaring us into making those decisions, even though we know better. Something like 27 people have been murdered in Indianapolis already this year. Kids in Chicago are dying from gunshots, and kids like Abby Reeger and Brody Stevens in New Palestine are dying from diseases or for reasons we can't even describe. We lost another pillar of our faith in Bob Irwin this week. And the list goes on. You all probably have your own. So it is a short walk for me from the empty tomb of Easter's good news and joy to the real world of the Emmaus Road, where all that good news turns into something hard to swallow and even harder to celebrate. Like I said, just like Cleopas, I'd probably look Jesus in the eye and ask, are you the only stranger in town who doesn't know about the things that are taking place here in these days? But the beautiful thing about Jesus and the road that we walk with Cleopas and his friend, the beautiful thing about Jesus on the road with the likes of you and me, is that Jesus really is no stranger to any of this. Jesus keeps showing up, and he keeps walking, and he keeps listening, and he keeps patiently waiting for us to do the same. Walking, listening, paying attention, I mean, until we see what has been and what continues to be revealed in our midst, in spite of whatever certainty and cynical stuff and sadness that we bring to the table. See, I think Jesus shows up in some surprising ways and through the love and lives of some surprising people a lot of the time, if we will just open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to recognize him there. I think Jesus shows up in the nurses and in the doctors at Riley Hospital for sure. If you've ever been there, you know that that is true. I think Jesus shows up in teachers and in administrators in this community who care for their students in ways far beyond what test scores or graduation rates can reveal. I've already experienced it this week. I think Jesus shows up in and through individuals and in communities of faith like ours who love one another or try to, who strive to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly or try to, in the face of so many temptations and really good reasons, frankly, not to. And I think Jesus shows up in the mirror. In the mirror. If we will open our hearts and our minds and our lives to that possibility. Because what happens on the road to Emmaus, really, is that Jesus opens the eyes of these two guys, these two knuckleheads, to see what they already knew. Through some patient conversation and a little bit of bread breaking, they're reminded and they are inspired to hit the road again and to get about the business of telling their people, their friends, their families, their fellow travelers, what they had wanted to believe and longed to know all along. That God is bigger than death. That hope is better than despair. That light shines in the darkness. That love always gets the last word. And that we, together, have hard, holy work to do in order to reveal that good news for the world, for our community, all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.